Jason won that match against Shane, and Shane's a king, and he went up and stood in his chair. You don't stand in the king's chair.
No introduction needed today. Rob, I heard that three cushion players are only pool players who can't make a ball anymore. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I got some feedback on my comments last time about three cushion and pocket pool. And my comments, I just want to clarify, my comments are based on my experience, not anybody else's. They're comments made from my personal perspective at my age. And they're relatively new, my perspective on three cushion versus 4 years ago. I didn't know anything about three cushion billiards. I wouldn't have been able to make a comment about it. So that's where I'm coming from. I promote all kinds of pool. Pocket pool, bumper pool, three cushion pool, snooker, you know, any kind of pool game. The table that's an L-shaped table, I just don't know about that one. But have you ever seen that table?
Yes, I have. That's where you draw the line, huh?
I think I draw the line there so far. Now, that may change in time, too. But I just wanted to clarify that. These are just personal opinions of mine. I really am on the side of any pool player playing any type of pool.
Well, I want to say that was very anticlimactic, and I was hoping for a riled up answer. And I will say this, Cody, you agree with me in that statement, right?
Correct.
Cody agrees. By the way, Cody's here, everyone. Say hi, Cody.
Hi, Cody.
Hi, everyone.
Cody's back. Cody, why don't you refresh all of the people who were not here before to hear you, what your role with the podcast is, and how great you are?
Well, great is an understatement, but I guess my role is I am one of the sponsors to the podcast. I have my own cue business, repairing cues. I've been shooting pool, I don't know, maybe 15 years-ish, right in there. I met Nate he was real young. I guess I was a lot younger than I am now, but you were probably, 12 or 13, right in that time, I think, when I met you.
Yeah, give or take.
And then we just kept running into each other at different tournaments and stuff and kept talking.
And here you are today.
Did he give you a deal on your sponsorship to the podcast?
No, I charge him more.
I know nothing about this kind of stuff. I'm
undisclosed information.
Ah.
Yeah, I actually charge him more than I charge
everyone else. You wouldn't want to make other sponsors feel bad, I suppose. Huh? I might think they paid too much.
I charge him betting dues. He has to bet with me all the time.
Ah. Well, it pays to be Nate's friend, obviously.
So, yeah, when
there's a difference between betting him and losing to him.
When I asked you that question, Cody, that was supposed to be your response, is why you're actually on today.
I don't want to talk about it, Nate.
All right, fine.
I'll
talk about
it
for you.
You don't want to talk about it. Sorry, you got to change the subject, buddy.
Cody and I decided to make a bet on the Dennis and Tony match, and I chose Dennis, and he chose Tony, and I said that if I win the bet, that I will bring you onto the podcast, and here you are.
Oh. Well, does he get to pay me something, too? Because I thought Dennis would win.
Yes.
I'm a co-host.
You two can work that out on the side.
And I think I did say that I still think Dennis is going to win, but I felt bad for you, so I took Tony.
Oh, it's a sympathy bet. I love it.
That seems probably more correct.
Yeah. I play sympathy all the time being married.
Well, I suppose we have wasted enough time with our introduction. We can jump into the fun part of the podcast, which is I will remind everybody that there is a promotion going on to where if you wanted to buy a t-shirt, we are giving away a free tube of Predator chalk with every t-shirt purchase. So if you've been waiting to purchase a t-shirt, now would be a very good time to do so, since you also get a lovely tube of Predator chalk as
well. How many cubes in a tube?
There are, I believe, six in a tube, if I'm not mistaken.
That's like a year's worth.
Well, not for you, because, you know, as much as you miss Q, you put extra chalk on with every shot.
I miss Q a lot.
Sounds like Nate's in a bad mood. Cutting everyone down.
Nate is very grumpy. Leave Nate alone. He's going to get grumpier.
Well, nothing like having a grumpy host. Now it's like every other podcast.
Well,
we're being unique. We're the same.
We all talked before this, before we even started recording. We're all three grumpy today, so I don't want to hear it from you two grumpsters. So,
okay, what do we have first?
So I guess anyways, back on topic. If anybody is interested in a t-shirt and wants to purchase one, you can head over to queueituppodcast.com, and there is a shop tab. You can head over to there and look at all of the t-shirts that we have. There are a bunch of fun new colors, and you can head over there and get one if you like. With that, we can go into our shout-outs. Rob, would you like to take it away?
But I'm shouting out to everybody that lives in Canada. Okay, and I'm going to narrow that down a little bit to pool players also. They're a special. Everybody gets a shout-out in Canada because they're just great, period. But the Canadians are great. But pool players, they're special. And here's the shout-out. It's to a team that would go to the BCAPL team tournament in Las Vegas when it was at the Riff. This is back, you know, from 1990s up until, 2014, 15, something like that, when they went to the Rio. And there was an evening when I was scheduled to play. It was in the open division, and it was for, 36th through 48th place on the loser side. And I'm playing. I realize I'm playing a Canadian when I look at the name and where they're from. And I went, oh, boy, okay, here we go. You know, another Canadian I got to play. I know I'm in for a tough match, a battle. They're grinders, Canadians. And so anyhow, I'm in a match. I'm in one of the side rooms that has 30 tables or so in it off the main room. And there's a commotion over in the corner of the room. There's a disturbance going on in the very far corner by the door, the entryway. And not trying not to pay too much attention to it, but it's getting louder, and there's a few more people over there now. But it's one fella. It seems obvious to me. Maybe he's by a quick glance. He's maybe had a couple cocktails, you know, and celebrating. He's a happy guy, but he's causing a little commotion over there. And all of a sudden, I hear, "Hey!" He's screaming. Who's that monkey Pete's playing? And I realize, I look down on the score sheet, and I see that I'm playing a guy named Pete. Now, I've changed the names to keep the innocent safe, but for story's sake, his name's Pete. And I looked up, and Pete is shooting, and he looks over at me, and he goes, don't mind him. He's on my team, and he's just partied a little too much, and he'll calm down. I said, well, probably what's going to happen is they're going to call security, and they're going to come in and haul them out of here in 5 minutes anyhow. And sure enough, the commotion gets a little more, and pretty soon security comes and hauls them away. So everything's fine. I play my match. And I don't think of it anymore. It's a thing of the past. It's just something that happens. Goofy people party and say stuff, and no big deal. And so the next year in Vegas, I'm back out there, and I make it a practice to kind of during the team tournament to walk around the place just to see if I know anybody from any teams that have been there in the past. And you make friendships when you're out there playing in this team event. It makes some enemies too, but a lot of friendships, and especially with the Canadian players. They're friendly, eh? You know? And so I'm walking by this one table, and I recognize a guy who's sitting watching, and then I look up, and I recognize another guy who's playing. And I went, hey, and I tapped the guy's shoulder. I said, hey, do I know you? And he goes, oh, you're him. And I went, what do you mean I'm him? You're the monkey. And I went, oh, you must be the Canadian team who Pete played for, right? And he goes, yeah, that's us. And guess what the name of our team is? And I went, I don't know. And I looked up on the top of the score sheet, and the name of their team was, Who's Your Monkey?
What?
So essentially, I had a Canadian pool team from Alberta, Canada, named after me.
Well, that's exciting.
And I was the monkey. Yeah, and you know what? There was a moment, and there still is, because I'm telling the story, of it was kind of a prideful thing. It wasn't like a degrading thing at all. It was like they thought it was such a big deal that they named their team after me.
Huh.
Yeah, and that's a true story. So my shout-out is to all Canadian pool players for being just great sports, you know, super respectful of the game of pool, respectful of their opponent they're playing for the most part, and respectful of the people. The one thing I really did notice about Canadian players, they don't just walk around the table like there's nobody else in the room. They walk around the table as if there's other people playing, and it's their responsibility to watch out for that and to be aware of that. And by and large, it's almost all of them that I've played. So there's my shout out for today to Canadian people on a whole and pool players especially.
Awesome. Cody, would you like to go next?
Oh, absolutely. I guess since Rob did a group of people, I sort of have something along the same lines, the group. I guess my shout out would go to any and all significant others, spouses, girlfriends, boyfriends, possible, you know, close relationship couples that my shout out is to those people. I've talked to a few over the past couple weeks, you know, and it's just crazy the toll it can take on a significant other when other people are traveling, you know, for pool. And not just pool, there's work and stuff involved in well as well. But I guess my shout out would be to anybody that goes through that, deals with that, and is able to stay somewhat sane in that whole process.
That's a pretty good shout out.
That's a decent shout out. It is.
It is, yep.
Yep. It's too bad that spouses or significant others won't listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
For that shout out.
Yeah. So I guess my shout out will go to, I'm going to shout out to one person. I'm going to go against the grain here, and I'm going to shout out to John Demet, who has been on to the podcast in the past and is working towards potentially something big for pool in the near to, you know, medium future. And I am hoping to actually work with him with some of the stuff that he has going underway, which I don't think is available to be released yet, but I had a good long conversation with him today on the phone for about 2 hours, and it is good to know that there are people in the pool world that are willing to devote their time towards making the game better and are willing to back that up with lots of hard work. So my shout out will go to John Demet for his work behind the scenes trying to grow the game.
So you're teasing us.
I am teasing, yes. And with that, we can jump into the podcast. Wisconsin's upcoming events will be brought to you by the Wisconsin Billiards Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame weekend is fast approaching. Join us on October 11th through the 13th in Beloit, Wisconsin. Jeffrey Carter, David Jacoby, Randy Lamar, and Frank Stelman will be inducted on Friday evening at La Casa Grande. Registration for the banquet can be found on wibhof.org. The Saturday and Sunday tournaments are half full already, so please don't wait to get your registration in for them and miss out. See you all in October at Cole's Karam Room.
We should have some sound effects there where you say jump. It should be like a big splash. Skabloosh.
So there were a couple events that went on in Wisconsin this week. There was a two-man 1100 and below Scotch tournament at Shepherd's, and this had Jason DeFord and Mickey Shatner getting first place over Keith Hunkins and Michelle Neville. Third place goes to Steve Silbert and Doug Lawinger, and fourth place goes to Irv Upson and Tony Valdez. There was also a 550 and under high roller at the Ballroom, which had Chad Cox getting first place over Anthony Sadlin, with Ryan Thompson getting third place and Bao Li getting fourth place. Sammy Juniors had a 525 and under 8-ball, which had Steve Martin Jr. and Joe Trapp getting first and second place, with Jerry McCrossin getting third. And those were all the events that happened in Wisconsin. So let's move on to the upcoming events. Wisconsin's upcoming events will be brought to you by Jeff Glaza and CBD for Life Global. Several years ago, Jeff challenged himself to be the best pool player he could be. He quickly learned three things. It was going to take a lot more work than he thought, the game was mostly mental, and that he did not play well enough in pain and or being in an unhealthy state of mind. For over 20 years, Jeff has been interested in a more natural approach to health. One day, a couple years ago, while doing research, he discovered CBD as a natural way to reduce the effects of anxiety. After taking CBD regularly, he began to experience life-changing results not only with less anxiety, but also less muscle and joint pain, and the bonus of a more restful sleep. CBD is now a major part of his life and goals of being as healthy as possible and continuing to enjoy and excel at the game. Jeff would like to invite you to share in the amazing benefits of CBD and find out how it could benefit your life and game as well. He invites you to text him anytime at 715-887-2550 or follow the link on my website and you will find over 70 high-quality products delivered to your door that all come with an empty bottle, 60-day money-back guarantee. You can do your splash here, Rob. So it looks like there are three events coming up this weekend. There is a tournament at the Poor House in Hartford, which is a Lori Ranton Johnson pool tournament. I'm not really sure what that means, but it must be some sort of fundraiser because the green fees are being donated to her. There is $20 per team and $10 greens fee, Scotch doubles, round robin, luck of the draw partners. So that seems like a kind of a fun format. There is also a September 27th and 28th at Sinolene's Bar in Leona, Wisconsin. I have no idea where that is. Which has Friday night a singles 8-ball, $25 entry fee, and a 3-person team 8-ball on Saturday. Lastly, and this is where I'm going to be at this weekend, there is an 1800 and under 3-person 8-ball team event at the Ballroom, which has $1,000 added for 32, and race to 7 both sides 8-ball. So those were all the events coming up this weekend. So, and this is a good week to have Cody on, because Cody and I obviously made the bet for the Tony Chohan and Dennis Arcoyo matchup. But, we hinted earlier that Dennis wins pretty comfortably, 40-30. And this certainly did not really come as a surprise to me. Before the match started, I predicted 40-28 as a final score. So I was pretty close. Cody, this didn't really surprise you either, even though you bet against Dennis winning. What did you take away from watching some of the match?
Yeah, it didn't surprise me that Dennis won that long of a race. You know, I think just watching it and, you know, knowing the history, you know, Tony seems to have a little bit of problem with this, either the second part of the day or once it gets a little bit further on. If it was, you know, a longer, more days, but only a race to 5 each day or something, I think maybe that might change the number a little bit, not necessarily the outcome of who wins. But I think Tony might have a few more wins. The other thing I thought of it is just that Dennis is a crazy ball maker. Like, he can pocket, like, everything. It's just crazy. And, you know, it doesn't matter how much you know or how much you play one pocket at the level that we would play, there's something you're going to pick up every single time you watch one of those guys play, for sure. I probably picked up at least another 15 things that I never would have thought of doing just watching that whole match.
And I guess my takeaways from it, watching basically from start to finish, I missed a little bit of day two, but other than that, I pretty much watched from start to finish. And my biggest takeaway is I actually don't think Dennis played that well as far as what he's capable of shooting. When I watched Dennis play One Pocket Down in Kansas, and he was playing against Chip Compton, Shane McMinn, Roberto Gomez, Scott Frost was there, Joey Gray, some of those as top players, I really watched Dennis play almost flawlessly moving the cue ball, which I tend to agree that he still did that this time. I don't think he made a lot of mistakes as far as like moving the cue ball around. Where he got himself into trouble was shots that I did not see him missing in Kansas. He missed here. And I mean, there are shots that you don't necessarily expect anybody to make, but you've seen Dennis make them so many times over and over and over again that it really is a shock to me whenever he misses one of those balls. I mean, he seems so impenetrable at the table that it seems like every time he could make a ball, he should make a ball, and then he does make a ball. I saw him missing a couple balls that I would expect other people to miss, but not him. And so I actually thought that the score could have been a little bit higher based off of a couple of those missed balls. And that's probably holding him to a standard that isn't probably human, but I think that that score could have been a lot higher. I don't think that I think if you ran the simulation of this where they played 1,000 times the same race, I don't think Tony wins but a handful of those. I think Dennis is – the first time they played, Dennis was very inferior as far as the knowledge of the game. He had more talent than Tony at the time still, but he just didn't know the game well enough to be able to translate that talent into production. And now he knows the game well enough over the last 3 to 4 years of playing that the gap between – I still think Tony knows the game a little bit better than him, but the gap has been made up to where Dennis's talent is a huge equalizer. And kind of from what I've watched, even with Dennis missing some balls that I wouldn't necessarily expect him to miss, I don't think that there's a living, breathing person on earth, maybe short of Alex Pegulayan, that has any chance in one pocket against Dennis from now to the foreseeable future. And, you know, I could be wrong on that, but I just don't see any other players that really have a chance against Dennis right now besides Alex. What do you guys think about that?
I think that's accurate.
Yeah, I agree after watching this. Before I went into watching this match, remember when we were talking off before the match started, I really was going on, you know, the bet and taking Tony. The only reason that I even thought about it in any way was because I knew that Tony knows the game, well, knew the game better the last time I watched him play one, a big match, you know. But when I started seeing that Dennis was right up to speed with him on the knowledge of the game, obviously he's still a little bit short of knowledge probably compared to Tony, but, and then you, yeah, like you said, add all of the experience in just shot making and shot selection by Dennis, there was, yeah, Tony didn't have much of a chance.
Yeah, and Josh Roberts kind of said it well while he was commentating the match, which, spoiler alert, Josh Roberts is a great commentator. I thought he was fantastic from start to finish, but back on track. Josh said from the beginning, you know, Tony really is going to have a tough time fading how straight Dennis shoots. And it, you know, it showed evident. Dennis shoots the balls so straight and so pure that there's really, I mean, at the end of the day, just Tony does not have the talent to keep up with Dennis's talent. And the knowledge, while Tony definitely has the edge there, it's not enough to make up the talent difference between the two.
I agree.
So then that can kind of wrap up our discussion on that, and we can now move to the other big event that happened this week, which was the Kremlin Cup. And Rob, why don't you take it from here, because you are so giddy and excited.
Yeah, I just think, you know, Wisconsin has got a lot to be proud of here in this young man. Tyler is really now coming out of his shell and totally. And starting to show everybody, show the world that he can play with the best that are out there. You know, half of this field over there was the best in the world. And, he ends up beating, what did David win this year? What big tournament did he win?
I think David Alcati won the World Pool Masters, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the World Pool Masters. So that's, you know, I mean, is the last guy he plays there for the championship is a top-notch player, seasoned veteran. So, and you know, and manages to get through that with a one-game, he'll win. And that's just so exciting.
After being down 7-4, if I'm not mistaken, too, just to...
Yeah, 6-3, I think, is what I read, but 7-4 makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, Tyler jumped out to a 3-0 lead, and I think it went to 7-4 after that.
Yeah, that's just so exciting. And I saw his girlfriend Kay's little talk on Facebook there, where she breaks down and just, you know, so much emotion over this win for Tyler. This being his first, I'd say, first major league championship besides the Moscone Cup. Which was a team championship, but where he won some individual matches, but this being a singles tournament, you know.
Yeah, this is his big, this is his first major individual title, I would say. Anyone undefeated all the way through, which is even cooler.
Yeah, and pockets just under $10,000 for that, so it's also a nice payday for him and his sponsors. You know, I'm just excited to be, you know, to know Tyler and to have spent a day with them with the CTE and that kind of thing, and him from being from Wisconsin, you know, so we're all happy about that. I think every pool player in Wisconsin has got a, you know, kind of a tingly today, huh? Or yesterday.
Yeah, I think I agree. Cody, did you get to watch any of it?
I did watch the final match there. Yeah, like Rob said, it was just sort of like it was a different type of feeling and moment when you're, you know, and obviously it was 4 a.m. for us, but for whoever was up there, you know, watching it live at the time, it was just a different feeling to watch him take that match down and coming down to Hill Hill and him keeping his composure and everything. It was awesome. It did definitely made you feel good inside about what Wisconsin has done or is doing for pool.
Yeah, I agree. So I'm not trying to denigrate Tyler's path, because I actually don't know any of the people that he played against except for David Alcaide in the finals, which doesn't necessarily mean anything. It just means that I don't know who they are. But I just kind of want to read the players that David Alcaide beat to get to the finals to then lose to Tyler.
Oh, and I said, can you read the scores? Do you have the scores, too?
I do.
Okay.
I do. So, first match, David Alcaide plays Shane Van Boning and wins 8-6. Second match, he plays against somebody that I don't know, and I'm not even going to try and pronounce the name. Third match, he beats Eklanti Kachi 8-7. Fourth match, he beats, and I can never pronounce this guy's name, but basically Conrad. Everybody knows him as Conrad. 8-1. Then he beats Fedor Gorst, the Russian, you know, prodigy, 8-3. Then he beats Shane Van Boning again, 8-3. Or then he loses to Tyler Steyer in the finals. I mean, David Alcaide's draw, he beat some monsters by a lot of games. He had a great tournament. So good for him for getting second place, but, you know, we all care about Tyler, so go Tyler.
Okay, so the format sounds to me like a singles. Neither one had lost a match then in the finals, correct?
No.
But you could lose a match getting there because he played Shane twice.
Yes.
Or Shane lost to both Tyler and David.
Shane did not lose to Tyler. So how the format worked was you played out until a certain point, and if you got to that point on the one loss side,
it was single elimination at that point then.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So once you got to that point, you were redrawn into the winner's side or the A side, and
gotcha.
It was single elimination from there.
Yeah, I like that format.
Yeah, it's kind of neat.
Do you know, was that redraw? Was it seeded or was it completely random?
It was. So it goes into a spot. So. It was seated where A side plays a B side, and then depending on where you were at on the B side was where you were planted into the A side.
Okay.
Yeah. So
yeah,
I
that seems like the best way to do it.
Yeah. So like we said, Tyler Steyer gets first place over David Al-Kaidi and Shane Van Boning. And I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name. I'll try. Pekalish? I have no idea. I fail. They get third, fourth. And Stefanov, Ralph Suquet, Fedor Gorst, and Francisco Sanchez Ruiz get fifth through eighth place. Niels Fine. No idea in this guy's name. Not even going to try it. Conrad Duong. Something low. Joshua Filler. And I'm not trying that one either. All these names are in Russian, and I don't speak Russian, so I don't know how to pronounce it. I'd rather take a shot at the Asian names than the Russian names. They're so hard. But other names of consequence. Max Eberle makes the final draw and loses his first match. Ruslan Chinnikov makes the final draw and loses his first match to Ralph Suquet. Elvin Ocean makes the finals, but loses his first match. Sky Woodward loses to Fedor Gorst, or the first round of the redraw. Billy Thorpe loses his first match. Eklanti Kachi loses to David Al-Kaidi in the first round of the redraw. And Alexander Kazakis loses to Niels Fine in the first round of the redraw. So there were, you know, obviously just a ton of really, really, really good players. And there's a lot of players that didn't even make it to the redraw that, you know, I'm seeing knocked out before then. So, I mean, there was a lot of really, really good players at this event. And that makes it even cooler for Tyler.
Yeah, and one thing I want to add, and maybe people have seen this online a lot and stuff, but, you know, another thing to be proud of, not just as Wisconsin, but, you know, as the U.S. as a whole, is the six guys that we have playing for the Moscone Cup team to see who's going to actually make the final team. Five of the six made it to the redraw, and the only reason the sixth one didn't make it is because he was playing one of the other U.S. players.
Yeah, Corey Duell. The final match. Yep, Corey Duell lost on the hill to Billy Thorpe to get into the redraw.
So all the Americans make it to the redraw except for one, and that was a hill match with another American. It's just crazy. It's awesome. It's awesome to see these guys traveling together, having fun together. You can tell that this whole thing has changed since Moscone Cup last year. I follow a lot of them, you know, obviously on social media, and these guys are really enjoying what they're doing, right, as a group.
So I guess that can wrap up our discussion on the Kremlin Cup, and we can move on to what is coming up. So there is obviously the Dream Challenge that is going on for the players who are also over in Moscow for that. So that is the U.S. versus Russia. And that actually started on Monday, the 23rd. And this is being recorded on Monday night. So this is actually being streamed to Facebook and YouTube to the World of Pool page. If I'm not mistaken, that's right, Cody?
Yeah, World of Pool on YouTube and the ABN page on Facebook.
Yeah. And I got to watch a little bit of it today, but I didn't watch enough of it to where I'm going to talk about it personally, because I don't even know what the final score of day one is. So I don't want to talk about something that I wasn't able to watch. So
I might be able to fill you in there. I did get a chance to have it playing the whole day.
Yep, go for it. The only thing I did watch is I watched Sky win his match, his singles match, and that was all I was able to really watch.
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me the which matches were which. I know Shane. So the ending score was 3-3 on the end of the day in that race to 10. Shane and Sky had a scotch match that they played Fedor and Ruslan. And they beat him 5-0. I've never seen, and this goes back to when I said, you know, these guys traveling together, playing together, enjoying each other's company now, rather than just looking at each other as competitors or, you know, the opponent. These two, Shane and Sky, shot so well to beat them 5-0. You know, they've been saying whitewash on the stream. But it was just awesome to see those two playing together. And then Sky played a great match as well. Tyler's match against Maxime Dubinet came down hill, and Tyler lost that one. That was the last match of the day, but it was very close as well.
Well, I actually watched, I should say that I watched some of that too, and Tyler was actually down in that match. If I'm not mistaken, I know he was down 3-1. I think he was down 4-2 as well, if not 4-1. So he got back to the hill then.
Hill and Tyler was breaking too.
I know Tyler missed a couple balls that he doesn't normally miss to basically even allow that match to exist. Tyler was in control of the table for most of that match. The only reason he lost a couple of those games is because he gave them away late in racks.
And, you know, I also noticed, too, that Tyler was moving the cue ball around a lot when he was breaking. You know, he couldn't really find that spot he wanted to break from. He kept breaking dry. I think he had 3 dry breaks in that match. So, you know, that hurts, too. Even if Maxime wasn't able to get out on it, it just, you know, it definitely changes his feel for that match, I'm sure.
Yeah, so I guess that's a pretty good filler in for what's happening, so. Way to be on top of things, Cody.
You're welcome, Nate. I figure I owe you that. That makes up for a bet.
Perfect. So that is going on as this is being recorded, and basically in the next couple of days. I think it's a 3-day-long event. No, it must be a 4-day-long event. Yeah, it must be a 4-day-long event. So that can be watched. Usually starts around noon Central Time, so wherever you're at, you can translate that to whatever your time zone is, and basically watch along with Team USA. And we can move on. There is also the 2019 High Desert Shootout, so that is also going on out there. So with that, we can move on to the wrap up of the podcast. So we will skip the discussion topic again today because I don't have anything to talk about and it's late and I got to try to get this podcast out yet tonight. So why don't we move on to what's becoming most people's favorite part of the podcast. Rob, let's hear some tidbits.
Tidbits. First guy, my wife's an angel. Second guy, you're lucky. Mine's still alive.
That's bad. That's really bad.
Well, Cody brought it up. He started talking about significant others, so I thought I'd get that out of the way. What's the difference, Nate, between a boyfriend and a husband?
I got a feeling I'm about to know.
Well, it's about 45 minutes. And what's the difference between a girlfriend and a wife? It's about 45 pounds.
Aww.
See, I wasn't sexist there. I gave both sides. Did you see that? Okay, here I got a question for you, Cody. Why don't blind people like to skydive?
I don't know, Rob.
Well, it scares the hell out of the dog.
Ah, seeing dog. I see what you did there.
See? You know?
I was thinking until Nate said that.
You're just not quick enough. Okay, when I read about the evils of drinking, you know what I do?
I put my drink down.
And I give up reading.
I like that. Speaking of which, I need to get me another drink.
And you know, I don't believe in reincarnation, which is kind of strange considering in a previous existence I did. And
I find that way funnier than it should be.
did you know that two wrongs don't make a right, but three lefts do?
Depends on how you take your lefts.
No, three lefts make a right.
All right.
Figure it out. See, that was actually not even a joke. That was just straight out the truth.
Well, you are assuming that
No, if you make three lefts, it's just like taking one right, Nate.
Well, that assumes that your turns are not, your left turns are 90 degrees. You could make a left turn that was actually 45 degrees or 33 degrees.
Moving on. Why don't you need to worry about the world ending today?
Because I have a drink in my hand and I don't care?
No, because in Australia it's already tomorrow.
Fair.
Uh-huh.
That's fair.
And why are bosses like legs?
I got nothing.
Well, when they get to the top, they become asses.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do. You know, my wife says that I never listen or something like that. You know, if you give a man a fish, he will eat for a day. But if you teach him how to fish, he'll sit in a boat and drink beer all day.
That's true.
Probably. Yeah, sometimes I wake up grumpy. Other times I just let her sleep.
Whenever Cody laughs, that's when you know it's good.
Okay, what's the difference between a snowman and a snow woman?
Game on snowball.
Well, it's actually just plain and simple snowballs.
Oh, I didn't mean to wreck that. Sorry.
That was nice. Good you one, got Cody. That one. That's a good one, Cody. I like that. Before you criticize someone, you walk a mile in their shoes. That way, when you do criticize someone, you'll be a mile away from them, and you'll have their shoes.
That's so stupid, Rob. That's so bad. That is easily the worst tidbit you've had this entire, like, all, every week. That's the worst. That's so bad.
This one here is coming up, you know. So I saw a woman wearing a shirt that said "Guess" on the front of it. So I just yelled out, "Implants." And that's pretty much it there for tonight.
So there we have it.
And those were the pick of the litter.
You have reached an all-time low with the worst tidbit you've ever had.
You know, yeah. I got to add, my shout-out was for the spouses and the significant others. And I feel like a majority of Rob's tidbits were talking the other way about them.
Yeah.
Except for the one about what's the difference between a girlfriend and a wife. 45 pounds. What's the difference between a boyfriend and a husband? 45 minutes. That was the equalizer.
All right, fine, Rob.
So there you go. Well, and I do have something to say about my wife. She has attended one pool tournament in her life that I went to. And after it was over, the first match of the tournament, she says, "I never want to come to another one." And I said, "Okay, I understand that." And then, of course, I said, "Why?" And her reply was, "I was so nervous, I couldn't even swallow."
I believe that.
So, and that's the truth. I mean, it's not because she doesn't want to, or it's not that she's not interested or whatever, because it's one of my passions. But she just got so nervous, she couldn't take it.
Well,
and I played so bad, I was so embarrassed, I didn't know what to tell her.
I think you should bring her back again, because that was when she actually cared about you, and I think that she could be around you playing pool.
I love it. Yeah, you know, you may be right about that.
There's a chance, right?
Now that she doesn't care in the least, she might actually enjoy it. She does come to league once in a while and watch. She did when I played in a league at a place that had a nice atmosphere and was upscale. And
yeah.
You know.
Well, I guess we can move on to our tips. Cody, would you like to partake, and would you like to go first?
Come back to me if you can.
I'll start it out then. My tip this week is to read the book, The Inner Game of Tennis, if you have not read The Inner Book of Tennis before. And if you have not, I'll give just a really quick thesis on it. Forgive me if you are a religious person and do not believe in evolution, but I do. So I will basically say this. We, as humans, have spent potentially millions of years basically evolving into what we are today. There is a lot of natural things that have happened in that amount of time, and the human consciousness has only come about in the last, you know, basically few 10,000 years. So what I'm getting at is there has been basically hundreds of thousands of years before this where the human body was basically evolving into a machine that basically does everything that we needed to do at this point in time to survive. Or the thesis of the book basically says, your conscious mind is not nearly as developed and as keen to getting quote unquote good at things as your subconscious human body, since it's had significantly less time to evolve into that. So basically kind of the thesis of the book is just get out of your body's way. You've spent all of your life training, or your all of your pool life anyways, training to be a good pool player or whatever you think is a good pool player. So why are you now basically undoing all of that by controlling what your body does? Just let your body do what you've been training to do your entire pool career and get out of its way. You know, still be conscious in a sense that you're paying attention to your shots, of course, but as far as the shooting of the balls, don't think too hard on things. Just let your body naturally do what you've trained it to do over the course of your entire pool career. So the thesis of the book is essentially that, and the book will obviously significantly express that better, but that's kind of an idea as to what the book is, and that was a huge influence on my game and where I've gotten to this point. So I will advise you, as somebody who wants to get better at the game, to probably give that a look and, you know, read it over. Rob, would you like to go next?
I'll absolutely second that. You know, I think our mind needs to, at some point, get out of the way of our body, for sure, in pool. And that book will do it. So I second that nomination. And right along with that, I think my tip's going to be, if you have a chance to get a lesson from Tyler Steyer when he comes back over here around his home, if you're anywhere from Michigan to Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and you can spend some time with Tyler for the afternoon, that's my tip. Do it. Don't hesitate. And it doesn't have to be all about CTE. It can be about anything with pool. I think it'll be a worthwhile experience.
I agree. The lesson with Tyler was plenty worth before this Kremlin Cup win, but definitely, I mean, the credibility, if you were ever hesitant, is certainly there now. So then, Cody, why don't you wrap us up and get us out of the podcast?
Well, I do have a tip, and my tip is directed towards sort of the ranking systems and numbers that are put with people or letters that are put with people. I think one big tip that I think this is a tip that was, you know, important to me, or I started learning, you know, say about a year ago, is the sooner you can start blocking out all of this, the extra things that have happened, such as handicap systems and anything like that, or I feel the sooner you can not focus on that part of it, the sooner you're able to advance your game or not hold yourself back. I talked to a lot of people dealing with the key repairs and everything, and they're always talking about numbers and rankings and where am I at, where are they at, what would happen if we played in a race. And I feel like that, to somebody that truly wants to get better, that shouldn't be even a part of your thought process. You know, maybe if you're trying to sweat a match and get the better odds of something, maybe that's where something like that could come into play. But when it comes to the actual who's going to win that match, when it's dealing with yourself, you should just be thinking about that match and not the numbers and the letters.
Yeah, and that, if you don't mind me expanding upon that, you going into a match, let's take Fargo rating as a basis for our ranking systems. Let's say, Cody, you and I go into that match, and you are a
40.
Okay, so you at your rating, and then me at about a, I think I'm a 653 last I looked. Basically, all those numbers represent is basically a time shot of where we're at now based off of all of the evidence of the past. So while your rating may be a 540, like you said, and mine might be a 653, that does nothing but predict what's going to happen based off of that. It doesn't tell you what's going to happen. It's going to predict what's going to happen. Every single piece of evidence that goes into the Fargo system from there on out is new bits of evidence and has basically nothing really to do with what's already there. So you could come out and throttle me you know, 20 to zero and erase the 20. And, you know, your Fargo, the Fargo numbers going into it meant nothing, absolutely nothing. Shane Van Boning beating Jason Shaw as bad as he did going into the last day. I think he was he like 66 to 40 something. It was, I mean, he was just throttling him. The Fargo meant nothing going into that last day. That kind of branches upon what you just said there, where you can't do anything about the Fargos or your, you know, your BCA rating once you go into the match. All you can control is what you do from there on forward. I think that's a good piece of advice.
Thank you.
And with that, I am going to include something new into the podcast from here on forward. And it's just going to be a quick little plug at the end of the podcast to somebody who sponsors the podcast that I want to highlight and thank and give basically a kind of a reminder to the listeners who I may not have said anything. So basically, I'm just going to highlight some of the people that are sponsoring the podcast. And with week one, I am going to give a shout out to my very first sponsor that took a chance on the podcast when it was basically in its infancy. And I reached out to John Kramer, and he helped a bunch with me actually with setting it up and some ideas along the way. And, you know, he basically said it wasn't a matter of if he's going to sponsor the podcast, it's going to be when and how much. So he knew he was going to jump on board right away, and he was with the Billiards Hall of Fame, the Wisconsin Billiards Hall of Fame. They are a nonprofit organization out of Wisconsin that basically highlights all of the good work that players do throughout their career and basically highlights them and gives them a platform to basically be inducted into a Hall of Fame. So we are actually just less than a month away from the second year of inductees. And if you are interested, even if you're out of the state of Wisconsin, in supporting a foundation that is nonprofit and basically really does give a lot back to the community. They give money to juniors who, you know, are trying to make it to nationals or worlds. They donate to every player that basically reaches out to them, whether you're from Wisconsin or not. So they really do a lot of great work in Wisconsin and even a little bit abroad. So if you are interested in potentially becoming a member of the society, you can head to wibhof.org and you can sign up. It's pretty cheap. It's like $45 for 5 years. So it would, you know, it's definitely a good place to put your money if you're trying to support people who are doing good work in pool. So I will give a shout out to the Wisconsin Billiards Hall of Fame and thank them for the work that they've done to help support me with the podcast. And with
I gotta say too that you know, John Kramer is just, he's an excellent guy. He's awesome. If anyone out there gets a chance, if you're at the Hall of Fame tournament or, you know, just out of the tournament, and you know he's there or around or has a booth or anything, you know, he's always more than welcome for anybody to stop by and talk. He's a great guy.
Definitely. And actually, Rob, I should say you are an inductee on the Wisconsin Billiards Hall of Fame. So let's do some lobbying to get you in next year. How does that sound?
Yeah, whatever happens, happens, Nate. I just feel fortunate to be nominated. So, and I do have a comment about John, a personal comment from experience. I spent 2 years with John playing pool with him almost every day. And we lived in Marshfield, and it was one of the first nights he come into the pool hall, and he goes over the 9-footer and he's knocking the balls around all alone. And it's not too busy in there, so I wandered over and I'm just sitting there, and he doesn't know who I am. And I really don't know who he is. He's just some guy knocking the balls around. And I'm watching him, and I can see that, you know, he does a little thing with his wrist on his right hand. That's the hand he holds the stick with. He's right-handed. And just out of the blue, I say something to him. I said something to the effect, "Hey, John, you want a little help with your stroke? It looks like you're cupping your right hand a little bit there." And he stops. He looks over to me and he says, "Well, you want to play a race for 50?"
That kind of sounds like John.
Race to 7 for 50. That's all he said. He didn't say anything about what I said at all. He didn't want to hear about it. Obviously, he probably knew exactly how he holds the stick. And like that's not going to make any difference. I'm still going to whip you.
And did you play him?
We actually played a race to 100. It was pretty exciting. We raced to 50, winter breaks, and then we raced the rest of the way, halfway, we got to 50. It was like, I think it was 50 to 48, winter breaking, and then we played alternate break the rest of the way. And I believe it ended up 199, if I'm not mistaken. So
I think that
was pretty exciting.
That's the
it took a long time.
That's the only time I think I've ever heard of a race to 100 actually going to the hill.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe, yeah. And the most anybody was ahead at any time was, I believe, five or six games.
Wow.
And he, this was on a 9-foot table, he ran out from the five ball one time, and three of those shots were jump banks, and two of them were jump kicks, where one was a jump kick. The last one wasn't, because he had no balls to jump over. But it was a bank shot.
Huh.
Because when he jumps, he didn't get that good of shape, so he had to jump again. But he ran the last four balls by either jumping or banking.
Huh.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And that was back when that jump cues were just coming into vogue.
Yeah. So I guess we can wrap up at this point. And Cody, I will thank you for coming on and joining us as a special guest.
Yeah, thanks, Cody.
Yeah, thank you. It was a pleasure. Nice talking to you guys again.
Yeah. And Rob, thanks again, as always, for joining me.
Okay. No problem, Nate. I love it. Every week, we'll be here again. God willing, and the creek don't rise.
Yes, sir. All right. Till next time, guys.
Thanks for coming to my party. Now that we're all about to grow, it's time to go home.
Hey everyone, thanks again for listening. If you like what you've heard and you listen through iTunes, please subscribe and leave a rating. It helps others find the podcast. As always, thank you to our sponsors, Jacoby Custom Cues, Cody's Cue Therapy, Jeff Glaz's CBD for Life Global, the Wisconsin Billiards Hall of Fame, The Rocks Sports Bar and Grill, the IQ Practice Cue Ball, and the Wisconsin Pool Player Society. If you like what you hear, consider supporting the people who support the podcast. I would also like to take this time to thank Matt Kitzman, Robert Miller, Natasha, Kurt Elliott, Scott Doolian, Corey Smith, William Sutherland, and Mike Teasy for their help to market the podcast to a larger audience. Lastly, I would like to thank my cousin Andrew Mindham for his band Hey Captain Knight's music as segment and filler music to the podcast. If you like what you hear, you can find all of his music at heycaptainknight.bandcamp.com. And Knight is K-N-I-G-H-T.